Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE. Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Live on air. Presented by Ger Sweeney.
Good evening and welcome. Nice to have your company for another edition of Live on Air, the Irish programme. I hope you can stay with me until 7 o'clock. I have a nice programme lined up for you. I'll be talking today to Kathleen Malone, formerly Kathleen Lynch, and the Lynch family name in County Clare and in Ireland, and indeed across the world, synonymous with the Kilfenora Cayley Band. Kathleen's father, Jerry, would be a great singer as well. He would be a brother of John Lynch, whom you've heard before on the programme, the leader of the Kilfenora Cayley Band. Anyway, Kathleen has a brand new album out. She's trying to raise a few bob for the Burren Chernobyl project. She'll be talking to me about that project and about the album and her family on the programme. So stay with me, please, if you can. The Bard of Ennis, as he has become known, Kevin Keane, has another story for us about the Dublinising of rural Ireland. The Dublin lads looking for all that's good in the rural parts of Ireland. We'll find out more about that in a little while. We've got the famous Irish birthdays. I promised to play the number one song for you in Ireland on this very day back in 1974, and I will do exactly that. As always, if you would like to get in contact with me for the programme, the best way to do that is by email, ger@tre.radio. ger@tre.radio. Will we start with the birthdays? Yeah. Today being the 8th of June. 8th of June, lads, huh? Kevin McClory would have celebrated his birthday today. He was a producer, actor and writer, born in Dublin in 1926. Did an awful lot throughout his life. Kevin McClory, check him out. Pat Laffin, the actor. He was the man that was the milkman, Pat Mustard, in Father Ted, if you remember that particular episode. Unfortunately, Pat passed away last year, but he was born in Meath on this day back in 1939. And Jamie Spencer, a champion jockey, born in Tipperary in 1980. Tomorrow is the 9th of June. Chloe Agnew, musician and singer. She was part of the whole Celtic women thing. Yeah, born in Dublin in 1989. Mick O'Dwyer, football player and manager, born in Waterville in County Kerry in 1936. And Nuala Carey, the weather presenter on Irish TV, born on that day in 1977. Wednesday is the 10th, and Gary Hines, theatre director, born in Roscommon in 1953. She's a lady that has won many accolades down through her career. And when you see something associated with Gary Hines, you know it's going to be good. Joe McKenna, wonderful hurler for Limerick, part of the winning All-Ireland back in the 70s. Well, he was born in Shinrone in County Offaly in 1951. Joe, still hale and hearty, I'm glad to say. Thursday is the 11th of June. And Mark Cagney, radio and TV presenter, was born in Cork in 1956. Jerry McLaughlin, Irish rugby player known as Ginger McLaughlin, born in 1952. Ginger was a former teacher of mine when I was in first year back in the Sexton Street CBS in Limerick. Richard Todd, the actor, born in Dublin in 1914 on the 11th of June. Friday is the 12th, and Pat Jennings, goalkeeper with Newry Town, Watford, Spurs, Arsenal, Northern Ireland. He was born in Newry in 1945 on that day, and the writer Amanda Brunker was born in Dublin in 1974. Next Saturday is the 13th. W.B. Yeats was born in Dublin in 1865, and Brian Dowling, the TV presenter, born in Rathangam in County Kildare, yep, 1978. And finally, next Sunday, the 14th of June, John McCormack, or John Count McCormack. We mentioned him when we were talking to Des Egan a couple of weeks ago. He was born in Athlone in 1884. Andy Irvine, the musician and singer-songwriter, very much associated with Planxty down through the years. He had a solo career and duets quite a lot now with Paul Brady, and has done for the last 15 years or thereabouts. Charles Wood, the composer, was born in Armagh in in 1866. So there we go. Some of the famous Irish people celebrating birthdays this coming week. And if you happen to be celebrating a birthday, we wish you a happy birthday, or maybe somebody in your world is. So we say happy birthday in advance for this week. Right, we normally take a piece of music from one of our birthday candidates. And today we're going to take a track from Andy Irvine. We don't hear too much of him on the programme, although we have played him and we have played Planxty down through the years. Andy Irvine, here's a song taken from an album by the name of Rude Awakening. It's called Never Tire of the Road.
I was just a small-time country boy when I left that dusty town. Route 66 to the westward, and I hopped an old freight down. California, here I come, by the side door pullman and the sunburned thumb. They called us Okies, low-down bums, and the police on us frowned. Never tire of the road. Never tire of the rolling wheel. Never tire of the ways of the world. Way out yonder's a calling me, and the dark road leads me onwards, and the highway, that's my code. And the lonesome voice that I heard in my head said, never tire of the road. California to the New York Island, me and my guitar. And we played in many's a hobo jungle, many's a skid row bar. Standing out in the wind and the rain, that lonesome whistle is a sweet refrain. When you're waiting for some old freight train that carries an empty car. Never tire of the road. Never tire of the rolling wheel. Never tire of the ways of the world. Way out yonder's a calling me, and the dark road leads me onwards, and the highway, that's my code. And the lonesome voice that I heard in my head said, never tire of the road. Surprise. The dirty smell of the politician and the man with the greed in his eyes. One big union, that's our plan, and the IWW's your only man. The flames of discontent we'll fan for the cause that never dies. Never tire of the road. Never tire of the rolling wheel. Never tire of the ways of the world. Out yonder's a calling me, and the dark road leads me onwards, and the highway, that's my code. And the lonesome voice that I heard in my head said, never tire of the road.
Nice song, isn't it? From Andy Irvine. He celebrates his birthday next Sunday, so we wish him a happy birthday. Never tire of the road. And as I said, the introduction, that from an album by the name of Rude Awakening. I am going to take a very quick break. Come back to me just after that. I'll be talking to Kathleen Malone, formerly Kathleen Lynch, about her new album, about her family, and about the Burren Chernobyl project.
Live on Era, presented by Jer Sweeney.
I did mention at the top of the hour that I would be talking to a lady by the name of Kathleen Malone. Kathleen joins me on the line right now from... Are you in the heart of the Boroughland and County Clare, Kathleen?
I am. Hi, Gerard. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all.
We're in Doolan in County Clare.
Oh, downtown Doolan. You know? Anybody that knows anything about music in Ireland knows that Doolan would be one of the major hubs of music. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's well known for Irish traditional music, as you know, Michael Russell, famous. And yeah, it thrives here.
Great spot. Yeah. Now, Kathleen, I'm going to talk to you about two things today, if I may. Firstly, we're going to talk about the Boroughland Chernobyl project and an idea that you have for raising a few funds for it. But I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the music. I want to talk about the album. But you come from the Lynch family. Your father is Jerry Lynch. And we'll talk about Jerry and the Lynch family and the Kilfenora Cayley Band and your music after that, if that's all right. So can we do that?
Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Will you tell me what the Boroughland Chernobyl project is, firstly?
The Boroughland Chernobyl project is a charity based in Ennis Simon in County Clare, and it was established in 1993 to help with the child victims of the fallout from the Chernobyl reactor explosion. I travelled as a volunteer to Belarus with the Boroughland Chernobyl project first in 2007, and then I returned seven more times before I had my own kids. As a volunteer,
right.
I fell in love with the kids over there. I got to know them and we used to go over and help them with care. The Boroughland Chernobyl Project does a lot of projects such as humanitarian aid shipments.
Right.
They have an extensive medical program. They have a nutritional program, a building program, and what I was part of a volunteering program, and they set up all this from square one, you could say.
Now, I know that there are people involved in other Chernobyl charities or projects around the country. Is there pretty much one in every county?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
I know they are in a lot of counties now.
Right.
You know, A.D. Roach's charities in Cork there.
Yeah.
They have a couple in Dublin, definitely. But actually, with the Boroughland Chernobyl project, I've made friends over the years that have volunteered me that come from all counties to volunteer with the charity based in Ennis Simon. The charities themselves, they kind of focus on their own individual orphanages over there. Let's say it's such a vast country.
Yes.
There's lots of people that need care and support. So, they directly kind of help their own individual orphanages.
And it's been 25 years or thereabouts since the explosion in Chernobyl. Are things still as bad there as they were?
No, they're still bad now. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
I don't want it to sound all rosy. But, God, the improvements since these charities have intervened, you could say, and started helping has been amazing. Even year by year, when I used to go over, I could see the improvements just from funding raised and direct help from businesses that could provide shipments, help and aid and things like that. You know, just it's literally the help of people, particularly from Ireland, has really improved the quality of these kids' lives.
I was going to ask, why is it so much so that the Irish have been very helpful in this scenario? Has it been down to A.D. Roach and the support that she got when she started, or what has it been?
Well, she's been a huge help because a lot of people know her name and a lot of people have heard of her Children's Chernobyl Project charity.
Right.
You know, so she's got great coverage and that's kind of spread the word. And obviously when you hear the story about these four kids, it touches your heart.
It does.
And I suppose then when you start looking to volunteer, you'll see the various projects that support out there and you'll go from there kind of on the internet. But definitely.
A lot of the
Irish are so charitable, aren't they?
We can be except for when it comes to our own, maybe at times.
Yeah.
The background to all of this is the explosion, and that quite a considerable number of children were born with mental and physical defects and had been put in, basically abandoned, and had been put into orphanages, and some of them were actually orphans. They were living in horrendous states, really, weren't they? There was nothing for them to do. There was nobody there to give them the support that they needed and to help them. And this is where places like Ireland stepped in.
I said it to someone before, like, we're experiencing a bit of isolation now ourselves with COVID-19.
Uh-huh.
But the reality is these kids have endured this most of their lives. It's very sad. You go over and there's kids that are just bedbound their entire lives. And they get very little one-to-one human interaction.
Right.
And they have carers in the orphanage, and they do their best to care for them. But really, their primary job is to feed and change and, you know, the kind
yes.
of the nursing side of it.
Yeah.
But the actual...
The loving
the physical
side of
contact
it.
And the loving side of it comes from the volunteers. And when you go out and you see the kids and you just spend a bit of time with them and you can see the smiles on their faces, and they just want to be, you know, just that simple touch. Or used to, the kids that used to be bedbound, we take them out of their beds onto mats and, you know, they use a bit of sensory integration with them and massage their feet. And, you know, it's just that it's time spent with them and the care. And literally, do you know the way you just spend
miss
time
the touch.
With your own kids?
Yes,
it's just it's just that kind of the care. And
we hear a lot. We hear a lot at the moment because of COVID-19, where grandparents can't touch or hug or kiss their grandchildren, and I think we can understand that probably more now than we could have done 6 months ago. These children come to Ireland as well, don't they?
They did a lot now at the beginning, and there was actually cases where kids would have come over and they would have been kind of rehabilitated here. There was a case now, Brother Nemo Mara is the director of the Burn Snowball Project, and he's written a couple of books, and I would highly recommend them. Fallout is the name of one of them. Pat and Nealis Doherty, they're based in Islam, and they actually took care of a kid that came over that had autism and a cleft palate. They spent time, like, really, they give him intensive care. And by the time he went back, he had an operation for the cleft palate done, which meant he could eat properly. He could use the toilet properly. You know, they just did so much care for him that he actually got to go back home when he went back to Belarus. His family could not care for him.
Okay, so now they could.
Yes, they could.
Okay.
Yeah, and like even to the extent of where they were living on the second floor of their flat. But Burn Snowball Project helped raise money to buy a ground floor apartment for him when he moved back home and his family, so that
Incredible.
He could stay there. So there's it's huge. Like, there's so many stories like that that have just really improved the kids' lives.
Now, you have put together a new album, a CD, called My Island Home, and this is on sale to help raise funds for the Burn Chernobyl project. And a lot of what's being generated cash-wise is being used for PPE, am I right?
Yeah, initially I wanted to record it to go towards the projects that they do that I previously mentioned. Then COVID-19 came about and changed everything, and I said, I'll leave it now to release it, because we had it just recorded before the breakout.
Okay.
And I said I'd leave it because, you know, people were struggling and it was really no time to be asking people for money for a charity, but because we had to support our own.
Yes.
It turned out that they really, really needed urgent care. They needed personal protective equipment. The kids are the most immunocompromised of our society. Their health is not good to start off with.
Right.
So, as you can imagine, if it got, you know, when it breaks out in places like that where they're confined, it could be devastating. So I said, okay, we'll launch it online and try and start generating money for a Burn Chernobyl project as soon as possible, so they can send out humanitarian aid and personal protective equipment mainly, but also like pain relief and things like that to help the kids.
You've got a wonderful selection of songs on the album. You've got Mick Hanley's Past the Point of Rescue is there. Charlie McKettigan's Feet of a Dancer, which was recorded by fellow Clare singer Maura O'Connell many years ago. Dennis Allen from Limerick, My Island Home, the title track of the album, which is lovely.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I love that one. I'm delighted with that
one. And then, of course, you've got Fallout. As you said, one of the books you mentioned there a few moments ago by Father O'Mara was called Fallout. But you've written this, or you've co-written with Pat Dowling.
Yeah, my friend Pat Dowling helped me make the whole album.
Right.
And it was recorded at Malbay Studios in Milton Malbay.
Martin O'Malley.
He also plays on the album. And we have Emer Howley as well, who plays fiddle. She's in the Kilfenora Kelly Band.
Yes.
She plays fiddle on the album. But yeah, Fallout, myself and Pat wrote. It was kind of my experience from being in Belarus.
Yeah.
And his musical input as well, which was great. And I think it's a really nice song. I'm really happy. And I hope that volunteers and people that have been involved with these kind of charities can relate to it in some way, and that it touches their heart.
you know what we'll do? We'll take a listen to it right now and we'll come back then and we'll talk to you about your own musical history.
Thank you.
There's a place where the air's not pure, the ground is not the same. Life's been turned upside down, blameless children feel the pain. We heard stories of the poison, emission spread while asleep. It took hold of the families for generations to keep. Years later we traveled there to see what we could do. When we walked up those cold steps, children no one to turn to. We never knew before we went just how lucky we have been. All the things we feel entitled to, misfortune never seemed. I can see her little smiling face when I turn out the light. Something I always miss. The kids taught us simple things that we never saw before. Be there for each other, be kind, and you'll need no more. We came back to our families, nice to see a familiar face. But I find I keep drifting back to that foreboding place.
Song called Fallout, Kathleen Malone, co-written of course with Pat Dowling. Absolutely lovely. Was there a lot of emotion when you were recording that, Kathleen?
Yeah, there was. I kept crying at the end of it.
Did
and
you?
We had to re-record the end of it. Yeah, I couldn't sing it through without crying because I could see her smiling face.
Yes. Is it about just one person, or is, because I wonder that about, she was it just, is she just representative of everybody?
Well, originally, yeah, it's about a girl in Gardaí orphanage called Vika.
Right.
But the more I sing it and the more I think about all the other kids, you know, it's all their faces, really, you know.
Yeah.
They all touch your heart. They really do.
If somebody wants to buy this and support the Burren Chernobyl project, how does one do that?
You're donating straight to the charity when you buy it. You go on to www.idonate.com. bit.ie/myislandhome. Okay. And that money goes straight into Burn Chernobyl Project's bank account. And then I get a notification. You'll get an email to provide your address and I'll post you the album then.
Okay, very good. Okay.
Yeah. And it's €15. Sorry, Jerry. Okay. €15 for an album. But you can actually, if you don't want an album, you can donate any amount. Everything will make a difference.
All right.
However big or small.
And if I want to just receive the album as a download, can that be organised as well?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So when you get the automated email, you can say, you can just let me know if you want a digital copy instead.
Great. A lot of people might prefer that option. All right. Yeah. Well, look, I wish you the very best of luck. It's called My Island Home. I want to talk to you now, please, if I can, about you being one of the Lynches, the girl of the Lynches.
Yeah, and when I was growing up, my dad sings, as you know,
yeah.
Jerry Lynch. He sings a lot of songs, but he's known for the 1915 Christmas song.
Written by Cormac McConnell. But we've played your dad on the programme before. I've been a fan of your dad's going back many, many years when I worked in Clare FM and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And of course, the Lynch family, he would be a brother of a man that we heard on the programme as well, the leader of the Kilfenora Cayley band. So what's it like growing up as part of that dynasty?
Oh, absolutely privileged. Yeah, we took for granted when we were younger. But
really?
Now we know that we're very lucky people. And I was laughing when you first said the Lynch girl, because I have 7 siblings and 3 of them are girls. So when we were growing up, they'd always say, "Are you the singer?" Like, no. And do you know, they got fed up of being asked.
Right.
But I was always known as Jerry Lynch's daughter. We're all known, do you know, because
yeah.
Everyone really liked him and liked his singing. We grew up listening to the Kilfenora Cayley band in the car, and we used to go to sessions, and you'd actually know them subconsciously in your head now when they're played. You wouldn't even think, you mightn't even know the name of them, but you know
the tunes. Yeah, you know,
yeah,
the whole lot.
Yeah.
You know exactly how it all works. And is there extra pressure on you coming from the Lynch family and the musical dynasty that goes with that?
No, but it's great context to have.
Oh, but of course, of course.
There's no pressure. Like, we're all very easygoing. And, you know, like Dad, he never pushed us, but he always encouraged us, you know.
Mm.
So, and he knows now it is my time, like, that I'm ready now.
Right.
But I kind of put my hand to a lot of instruments growing up too, and I never persisted.
Right.
Now I'm trying to learn the guitar, and I'm really, really, really want to do it this time. And he actually, only a few years ago, started concertina, and he's flying with it.
Oh,
and
brilliant.
He said he reckons now that everyone has a certain instrument, you just have to find it.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Or let it find you somehow or other.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Are your siblings musical, or have they got a good ear for the singing, or how does it work?
Most of them are, yeah.
Really?
Or they either sing or they dance, yeah.
Right. And when you are involved in a project like with the Burn Chernobyl project, is it nice, or is there a certain kind of a relief that you're able to get your emotions on paper and into song and have them produced? Is it a release?
To be honest with you, that was my first experience, really. Like, I've dabbled with writing before, but I never actually executed a song like this.
Right.
And it's something that I really want to pursue, to learn more about songwriting and maybe take a few workshops and kind of,
okay.
You know.
Yeah.
Dabble with it a bit more.
Get stuck into
definitely.
It, as the fella says.
Yeah, yeah. It's really nice, actually. It was a really lovely experience. And to have people giving you feedback about how nice it is and that it touched them, like, that's
good.
Really nice.
Lovely.
Yeah.
In the sleeve notes, you were thanking various people, and there's a lovely picture there with you and your dad, and Pat is in there, and Martin O'Malley is in there.
Yeah.
And you said that you just thanked your dad and said that you were so happy that you sang Whispering Hope together on the album. Was it lovely? Mm. Really lovely. Was it nice to have both of you sing together?
Yeah. And it's something I'll have forever.
Yeah.
You know, and it's something even like my grandaunt Judith now absolutely loves music. She follows the Kilfenora Cayley band. Like, obviously, her nephew John is in it, and a lot of our relations. But I gave her the album, and my cousin Kathy, who sadly passed away
mm-hmm.
5 years ago now,
that's who it's dedicated to.
Always
that song.
Sang Whispering Hope with Dad. And so it's really special to us, because it brings back nice memories, and I'm really happy to be able to sing it with them too and Lovely. Make more memories.
Well, I was looking for an excuse to play it, and having you on is that excuse. And so I got to play another track from the album, which is out to raise funds for the Burren Chernobyl project. But I'm going to play that song with you and your dad, Jerry, singing together. And I think it'd be a lovely way to end the interview. So listen, thanks a million, Kathleen, okay. for taking part today in the programme. And we look forward to hearing more of the album. And I'll certainly give it a few plugs and see if we can get another few bob organised for you.
Oh, thanks. And thanks for giving me the opportunity, Joe. I really appreciate it.
Delighted. It's always nice to talk to a singer, and a nice one at that.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Bye.
Soft as the voice of an angel, breathing a lesson unheard. Hope with a gentle persuasion whispers her comforting word. Wait till the darkness.
Just lovely. That is the lovely voice of Kathleen Malone, formerly Kathleen Lynch, singing with her dad, Jerry Lynch. Fabulous tenor that he is. And that song called Whispering Hope from the album My Island Home. Again, if you would like to help raise a few bob to help the Burren Chernobyl project and you'd like to get your hands on the album, you can go to www.idonate.ie/My Island Home in the interview. And Judith got a mention, and that's because Kathy, who was the cousin that is referred to by Kathleen in the interview, Kathy passed away 5 years ago, and she and Jerry used to sing that song together in Aunt Judith's house. And Judith said that when she got the album and she listened to it, she laughed and she cried in equal amounts. And that's why Aunt Judith got a mention in it, and I think it is lovely. So we'll dedicate that as well to Aunt Judith. Right, I'm going to be talking to Kevin Keane very shortly. He's got another little story written for us about the Dublinisation of Ireland. God knows what's coming up ahead of us. We'll talk to Kevin just after this break.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney. Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Now, welcome to the final part of the programme, and today's programme could be called kind of like a cosy cartel, because following on the interview with Cathleen Malone, it was actually the Bard of Ennis, as he's now known, Kevin Keane, that put me in touch with Cathleen the other day, and Kevin joins me on the phone. Bard, is that the correct title?
That's your opinion.
Well, you're rapidly becoming that.
That's certainly an excuse.
I know. And thank you for arranging the interview with myself and Kathleen. She's a lovely girl, and the album is superb. And I know that many have just enjoyed listening to herself and her dad singing there a few minutes ago. So thanks very much, Kevin.
The Lynches are terrific. Sugar Uncle John as well as leader of the Kilfenora.
Oh, so we went through the whole family history
you
there.
Did, of course.
You obviously weren't listening, but that's all right. That's okay. We'll send you the tape.
Right. Thanks very much, Ger. Thanks.
Now, there's a great old kind of a feeling in outside of Dublin. Now, we talk about Dublin, and years ago it was called the Pale, P-A-L-E.
And that's correct.
There's a place outside Dublin called the Red Cow Roundabout. And we outside of that seem to think that the people within it, the Dubliners, think that Ireland stops at the Red Cow Roundabout. I'm explaining this because you're going to tell us a story that you've written, and it refers to things like that. And they've also decided that they're running out of water, and rather than fixing the leaky pipes in Dublin, there's a notion that they might dig a big, big channel and divert some of the water from the River Shannon to Dublin as well. And we don't like that idea, should we don't?
No, I wouldn't think so. No. I think there's a lot of people down around 13 and Tanlar, and we'd call them Limerick lads with footwear, like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. They wouldn't be too keen on the idea. So anyway, you were sitting down and you were thinking about this whole Dublin takeover in inverted commas. And so you penned something for us.
I did. We'll chance it, John.
In your own time.
Well, we will Dublinise the country, Leo says right now, and keep what's important between the Dáil and the Red Cow. We'll hijack Shannon Water down in Clare near Partine, and we'll remove the Cliffs of Moherin and install them in Stephen's Green. We will get at the farmers and give their tax a hike, and with the help of Eamon Ryan, we'll give them all a bite. Our allies within the Pale are thinking with the same heart. So every time an emission, and every time a cow will fat. The next thing on the agenda will be the Blarney Stone. Second thoughts, we should leave it, enough Blarney of our own. We could return in the Kinney, and that would be for our sins, and capture Connemara, and remove the 12 pins. Take over Donegal and Mary from Dunlow, and round up a few footballers around the village of Raphoe. We'd source out a few lakes and mountains around the Kerry shore to be told by the Healy rays not to come back for any more. Ring me a hall mat and down in Cork to come and join the clan and keep Mary Lou's arm's length as long as we possibly can. We'd slag off Mick O'Dwyer and let him have a go. We're the only team in history to win 5 in a row. Now we're all on lockdown. Leo has thrown out the carrot. To Tim Briggs, Smith, Alan Kelly, and the special one by Barrett. Shinnewill.
Mighty stuff altogether. You mentioned Mick O'Dwyer there. Yeah. And early on in the programme, we mentioned that this coming week, Mick will be celebrating his birthday. So we wish him again a happy birthday. Will we do that?
Oh, absolutely. All good lads are born in June, you know.
I was just about to say, you celebrated a little occasion yourself recently.
That's right, that's right. We won't mention years or anything.
No, there's no point, not at all. But anyway, happy birthday belatedly to you. I know you said, what date was it, the 3rd of June?
Second
of June. Well, yes, congratulations, belatedly happy birthday.
As a matter of fact, I just realised that Mihal O'Hare would have been 100 on the 2nd of June. And he lived, he was born 1920.
That's right, we mentioned him last week, actually.
Yeah.
Wow, fantastic stuff. All right. Well, listen, it must be great to be retired. All you have to do is sit down all day and write stories.
Yeah. You're entitled to
your opinion. Kevin Keane, as always, a joy to talk to you. And thanks a million for letting us know all about the Dublinisation of the country of Ireland.
No problem, Ger.
I closed my eyes, drew back the curtain to see for certain what I thought I knew. Far, far away, someone was weeping, but the world was sleeping. Any dream will do. I wore my coat with golden lining, bright colors shining, wonderful and new. And in the east, the dawn was breaking as the world was waking. Any dream. A crash of drums, a flash of light, my golden cloak flew out of sight. The colors faded into darkness, I was left alone. The world and I, we are still waiting, still hesitating. Any dream will do. A crash of drums, a flash of light, my golden cloak flew out of sight. The colors faded into darkness, I was left alone. May I return to the world and I, we are still waiting, still hesitating, any dream will do.
Beautiful song. It comes from Joe Cuddy. It was number one in Ireland on this very day back in 1974. All those years ago. That was from Joseph and his amazing Technicolor coat, wasn't it? Very popular back in the 1970s. Now, I did say that I would tell you about some of the stories that were making headlines in Ireland over the last week. I suppose the fast-tracking of the introduction of some of the phases to bring Ireland out of the COVID-19 lockdown is the biggest news of the past week in Ireland. And today we entered phase two with elements of phase three coming along with it, which surprised everybody when it was announced. Now, those of you that are interested in the nitty-gritty will be familiar with all of the details. But with the lifting of most of the travel bans and all shops opening today, there's been plenty of hustle and bustle on the high streets. Shopping centres will be open on the 15th of June, and the ability for hotels and restaurants to reopen on the 29th of June has given some people a lot of hope that the tourist season can be rescued in some form for 2020. Now, pubs who sell food and offer table service will be open on the 29th of June, but the 2 metre social distancing rule is causing other pubs to wait for other phases. Now, there is some time to go before the end of the month, so it'll be interesting to see what compromise can be reached, if any. But needless to say, we're feeling a lot better for being able to travel the distances that we're allowed to travel and being able to shop in the shops that we're shopping in today. So it's lovely. A nice story. A midwife from County Tyrone has said that she is delighted to be one of the three frontline workers chosen to appear on the cover of the July edition of British Vogue, and added, "It shows that people who do everyday jobs can make a difference." Indeed, I suppose we've realised over the last couple of months that these people are the heroes, not the actors and not the musicians and entertainers that we hold in such high esteem. Cookstown native Rachel Miller works in Homerton University Hospital NHS Foundation Trust in East London, and was on shift a few weeks ago when the photographer from Vogue arrived to take photographs of staff on site. And speaking on RTE's Morning Ireland last week, Rachel told how her role as a community midwife has had to adapt during the pandemic. She provides antenatal clinics, which are usually face-to-face throughout someone's pregnancy. She also does home visits after the baby is born to provide support. Miller has sought to continue this care for those bringing their newborns home despite the pandemic, and that I'm sure is a big challenge. She said that she hopes the kindness shown towards NHS and other frontline workers during the crisis persists into the future. In maternity, she said, "We're very fortunate that we get a lot of love and recognition due to the nature of our job. Anyway, it's nice," she said, "to see roles in the NHS that previously weren't as recognised or appreciated get that recognition this time round." The midwife said that the frontline workers, like herself, being recognised on the cover of Vogue is a very positive step. She said that there is definitely being a shift in who Vogue portray as role models. The fact that they put three ordinary people on the cover instead of a model or celebrity. I hope it's a reminder to people who see it that everyday jobs can make a difference. As for her local hometown in Tyrone, Miller joked that there could be a run on the shops to snap up copies when it goes on sale. She said, "I'm imagining my mum will be in Tesco tomorrow buying all of the copies she can find," she said. Well, hopefully she has them safely in her possession now and enjoying reading all about her daughter. Another story that's of interest. One of the things, I suppose, that a lot of people in Ireland miss, and you've heard it mentioned on the programme before, is going to the pub and having a pint. And it's not just necessarily all about having the pint. It's about the crack and the people that you meet. And particularly if you have a local, it's nice to be able to go there and be familiar with people and to be able to just let your hair down, as they say. Well, more than 50% of Irish respondents to a global survey about drugs and alcohol use say that they have seen an increase in the frequency of their drinking since the COVID-19 restrictions were implemented. For the past number of years, thejournal.ie has partnered with the Global Drug Survey to understand and people's relationship with controlled and uncontrolled substances. The team behind the research has published a special edition of the study. It was released last week on the impact the pandemic has had on the use of alcohol and drugs. The interim report found that out of 2,200 Irish people who took part, 54% said the frequency of their drinking had increased. Now, the survey was conducted online and people took part voluntarily, meaning that those who responded likely took interest in the topics being examined. 32% said that it had increased a little, while 22% said it had increased a lot. This was one of the highest levels of any country surveyed and higher than the global average of 44% who said that they noticed an increase. Most participants of the survey tended to be young, have experience with illicit drugs, and employed or in education. The team behind the survey said the median age of those who took part in Ireland was 39. In terms of how Irish people say they were coping with the pandemic and the related restrictions, nearly 52% of the respondents said that they were coping really well, which is 2% above the global average. 45% of Irish people said that they were coping with some things, but not others. Here's an interesting story. I know a fella that has just got himself all set up and is interested in making candles, something that I suppose 10 years ago, 5 years ago, he never thought he would be doing, but he is, and starting to make a go of it. So we wish him continued success. But a candle maker has been hit with a VAT bill for almost €400,000 after losing a legal challenge over the shape of candles it supplies to churches. Yeah, revenue claimed the VAT Consolidation Act of 2010 states that candles and nightlights are only zero rated for VAT purposes if they are white and cylindrical. right? It pointed out that the legislation excludes a zero rate of VAT being applied to candles and nightlights that are decorated, spiraled, tapered, or perfumed. As a result, tax officials argued a VAT rate of 23% should apply to all candles that are not white and cylindrical. Seriously. The firm of chandlers gave evidence that it had always applied a zero rate of VAT to church candles it sold within Ireland. The company told the Tax Appeals Commission that its church candles were not tapered, but were instead frusto-canonical and cylindrical in shape. Whatever frusto-canonical is. But anyway, the TAC heard from a director of the firm that the shape of its candles represented a cone with its top missing. The company claimed its candles were cylindrical at both ends, but just not the same size. It noted the base of the candle was a 3mm thick cylinder. It explained its use of such a shape was to provide additional fire safety, as the candles were self-extinguishing and contained smoke and environmental protection features which had been patented in Ireland, Europe and Canada. The firm said that revenue had failed to take into account there was a public interest in having such features in its candles. It finally claimed that revenue was acting inconsistently in its classification of church candles, which undermined the EU principle of legal certainty and fiscal neutrality. Under the cross-examination, however, the firm's director admitted he had no correspondence from Revenue stating that the church candles attracted a zero VAT rate. Revenue stated that the legislation governing the VAT rate to be applied to candles was unrelated to their use. There was a fellow on television once used to say, "Well, holy God." Anyway, a couple of stories I thought you might be interested in. Last week, I did say I was going to try and play a track from the wonderful Colm Wilkinson. His birthday was last week, and I was hoping last week to play a track from him. I didn't get to it, but here is the track I promised I would play. It's called Harcourt Street, and it's on an album that he's just released. Colm Wilkinson.
In the book of life is a hard book to follow. And I cannot stop the page to turn back time. But now I guess I'll never know the answer. Why you always waited for me down the line on Harcourt Street, round Harcourt Lane. I'll never ever walk this way again. With Copeland suit and pointed shoes and music always falling with the rain. And woman, all my ghosts are back to haunt me. And I never meant to hurt or cause you pain. But if I did, can you please forgive me? I was young and foolish. Life was just a game. On Harcourt Street, round Harcourt Lane, I will never walk your cobble streets again. Louis Copeland suit and pointed shoes and music always falls with the rain. And Dublin's like a bank of my old memories, wrapped around my head and in my brain. And they seem to be saying, go tell your story, for you'll never ever walk this way again. Round Harcourt Street, round Harcourt Lane, suit and pointed shoes and music always falls with the rain. I hear your voice still call, I hear the music call, I hear our voices call in the rain. Once again they're calling, once again you're calling, your voice is always calling in the rain. I hear your voice still calling me in the rain.
Isn't that absolutely beautiful? Colm Wilkinson. Right, that's my lot for today. I hope that you have enjoyed the programme as much as I have enjoyed putting it together and presenting it to you. Thank you very much to Kathleen Malone and to Kevin Keane, my guests on the programme today. Thanks as always to our Spanish-Irish cultural advisor, that is Jose Antonio Sierra. And thank you most especially for listening. Look forward to your company again next week, just after 6 o'clock. Heading to the news very shortly. After that, we've got some tech talk and a whole lot more coming as well. Don't go away. Look after yourselves in the coming week and each other. And I'll talk to you next Monday. From me, Ger Sweeney, until then, bye-bye.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save.